Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Good to have you with us. Manchester United lost at Anfield. Palace got a draw at Manchester City. And Mike Dean was in charge of another game.
It was his 500th game.
5,000th, 5 millionth game.
What a milestone for Mike Dean. And what a milestone
is he getting
for the
DVD?
Football Ramble. Of all 500, my name is Marcus Bella. Luke is here.
All right.
And Petey's here.
Hello, darling.
Petey, baby, back from Seville.
Very enjoyable. If you've never been to Seville, get yourself to Seville.
Yeah, get yourself. Pick an orange off a tree.
Yeah, they're quite bitter, aren't they, really? Mm-hmm. Nobody told me that. I just thought, ooh, little bit of the orange. And it was rather aggressive.
Definitely wasn't the peel you're eating, though.
Well, I just eat them like apples, mate.
Yeah. Had news travelled to Andalusia about Mike Dean's 500th game in charge?
Well, obviously, the town was abuzz. It's because he's not just the nation's referee. He's the world referee. Mm. And they were erecting statues. Uh-huh. There were street parties. All kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, as there should be. Mm. Well, of course, we heard
they call him Miguel, of course.
Yes, that's right. We saw him mouth the word bollocks.
Mouth a bollock.
He mouthed bollocks, if you pardon the expression.
The newspaper's reporting he mouthed, it's his bollocks.
Yes.
When talking about Ollie McBurney.
Uh-huh, right. McBurney.
Sorry, go on.
No.
I was going to say, I think we should really understand the gravitas of the situation about how impressive it is that Mike Dean's done 500 Premier League games. Hmm. The BBC had a Mike Dean quiz on the website this weekend.
They did, right?
Where you could talk about and guess answers on some of Mike's favourite moments and best moments. But on the serious side, he is 51. It's quite a big effort.
It's a huge effort. We all joke, and we will continue to joke, of course. But well done, Mike Dean. It's a hell of a milestone. And do you think that he took some joy in the montage on Match of the Day and what's been said about him? Or do you think?
Yes.
Do you think he's just sort of, no, I'm not watching that. I'm just gonna have my dinner.
I'm a Mike Dean apologist. I think he's a good referee and he deserves a bit more respect. But then he does stuff that makes you go, come on, mate, you're a referee.
Can I also say that, I mean, the game that he covered, I think because of the gravity of the situation, because people were aware they were taking part in history, they were trying a bit hard.
Possibly.
And it wasn't quite the free-flowing game we were after.
Yeah, the occasion sort of got on top of them a little bit.
It felt a bit like a World Cup final, Pete. It was very, very difficult for the players to play the game and not the occasion.
Yeah, indeed it was.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Anfield, where Liverpool with Manchester
United. Is that all Mike's getting?
Yeah. Why would you want a bit more? A
few minutes. He'd be fuming. That's all I'm saying. If you flip
well, all right, go
if
on
you
then.
Flipping straight
all right,
deficit,
we won't go to Anfield.
What are your top 10 favourite Mike Dean moments?
That one with the bollocks.
If Mike Dean started his own city like Akon has in
Senegal.
No, yeah. It's Angola, I think, isn't it?
Senegal, I think.
All right. I'm sure somebody will no doubt tweet us.
Yeah, it's not Angola.
Anyway, if you went to sort of live, would you live in Mike Dean's city?
I think we all do, in a way, don't we?
Yeah. Emotionally.
Yeah. It would have to be a stadium.
He's from the Wirral, so probably it's around there. I mean, of course, one of the best Mike Dean moments is when he was supporting Tranmere and shouting it from the... the roof, from the rooftop.
Was he standing on a seat?
I think he was standing on one of those things you lean on.
Okay, either way, bordering against the rules.
Probably.
Yeah. I heard he was standing on a floodlight going, come on!
But anyway, Howard Webb goes to watch Rotherham every week and did whenever he wasn't working. He's a big Rotherham fan. And
Kevin Friend is a Bristol City fan.
Is he? Okay.
I can't remember.
They're all football fans at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah. Do you know how they got into it?
Yeah, why not? Why the bloody hell not? Right.
Good on Mike.
Are we ready?
Yeah, I feel much better now.
Okay, good.
He's got his 4 minutes.
Fair play. No, you're right enough. Liverpool beat Manchester United, of course, 2-0. Liverpool, 16 points clear at the top in January. And don't they have a game in hand as well?
They're a good team. They are good.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal.
It's machine-like.
It's really machine-like.
It's got to the point now where you can name, presuming that, you know, injuries aside and everything, you can name the first 11 off the top of your head.
Do you think?
Yeah, 100%.
What, you haven't had Fabinho?
He didn't start. He came off the bench.
I know, but some people would have him in that first 11.
I just said injuries permitting, you can name it. It's always been, well, I mean... Ultimately, you know the core of their team off the top of your head.
Yes, you do.
In a way that you don't know necessarily about Man United, because you know what they're going to play one week for the next. So,
true.
So what I'm saying is they're very settled.
They're very settled indeed.
Well, they are machine-like in their ability to beat any team that's put in front of them.
Is it kind of a situation where, for me, Liverpool can beat any team in front of them? Their sternest tests are the ones where there's some kind of occasion or narrative, you know, there. Obviously, Manchester United took points off them in the season. There's a long history of a long history from Premier League seasons gone by. The Liverpool-Manchester United fixture is always a big one.
Spicy meatball.
So I thought Liverpool made heavy weather of it for quite a lot of the
but they should have been out of sight.
They should have been
4-0 up.
There was chances galore.
Yeah.
I mean, even Manchester United should have had a couple of goals at least.
They grew into the game, didn't they? They grew into it.
Yeah, Martial's missed a big one.
Of course, Pete, speaking of like playing occasions, you'd hope that Liverpool have this wrapped up by the final day of the season, when of course they play Newcastle United.
Exactly.
Bruce's Newcastle United.
Look, it could be the Spurs. Was it 5-0, 4-0 that season?
5-1.
Newcastle going down and they hammered Spurs inexplicably.
I tell you what, if Liverpool won, this is how ridiculous it is. If Liverpool won the league on the last day of the season, it would be an enormous balls up from Liverpool's point of
100%.
View. Even if they eventually won
if
it.
If they have to win the final game to win the league, they won't win the league.
If this is not wrapped up by, I'm saying end of March now. I've moved forward from April.
Well, the record is 19 points, which is Manchester City a couple of seasons ago. They got 100.
When did they, do you remember the date?
May not have got, I think they did it with five games left.
I can remember.
May not run 81, Man City run 100.
Okay, Manchester United winning the title, I think it was at Southampton, but it was like end of March, early April.
Mm.
It was very early doors.
I think
this is what we've
this
got
is
here.
Getting this is getting to deep stats now.
Yes,
but I think that Man City and Man United might have the joint record for the earliest in terms of games. But then, of course, it depends on the nuances of the calendar.
Is that deep stats? Like, aren't expected goals deep stats?
What I mean is deep stats by I don't really
by our standards.
I can't really confirm it because I can't remember.
Yeah.
But the record is 19 points, and I think that's a much better measure.
Yes,
and I have got a good inkling here that Liverpool will beat that.
They might well do. They don't look like they're going to lose.
And also, when Man United got 81, that's quite good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's decent, right? And they still...
one points has won the league in seasons gone by.
It has. And if Liverpool win their game in hand, they'll be 19 points clear. And then you kind of think, well, they've only dropped 2 points all season.
Yeah.
They're way ahead of what Man City were tracking at this time when they won it. So,
it's phenomenal.
It is an incredible performance. They've only conceded 14 goals. The record is 15, Mourinho's Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not going to beat that.
Surely weren't scoring as many as Liverpool this season, are they?
But Liverpool...
Mourinho's Chelsea,
yeah,
you're saying?
Probably not, but City scored more than
they did score a lot of goals, but yeah. I had a friend of mine, and it wasn't Jim, is an Arsenal fan. And after last night's or yesterday's result, he was gutted. And he's like, I really thought like the sort of the Manchester United, there's some sort of, because they got a point off them. And yeah. He was really hoping, yes, that Manchester United could actually beat them. He's like, oh, they're going to go a whole season. Oh, they're going to, the Invincibles, we're going to forget about the Invincibles. I was like, oh, dear.
I don't think Arsenal fans are going to forget about the Indefensibles.
Indefensibles?
I've noticed on the radio show that I do that the prevalence of Arsenal fans ringing up about it is getting higher and higher.
Oh, yeah. Right. But you'll soon have Man City fans thinking, oh, no, they're going to get over 100 points.
Yeah.
They're going to smash them all to bits.
They could do. What did you make of Mo Salah's torso? I'm looking at you, Pete. In the pantheon of great football torsos.
It's up there, isn't it?
Keegan gets sent off at Wembley that is the gold standard. Back in the late 70s?
Well, I guess for that generation as well, Keegan taking his top off.
You're talking
and
before
looking
sports
incredible.
Science, really.
Before it's very impressive.
Science, it's an incredible. It's
impressive now,
torso.
But back then, as you say.
Balotelli was up there.
Remember, it's a strong one.
He was a big one.
Cristiano Ronaldo, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but he doesn't do it with grace.
none of them
He's
do, really.
He's just a man who...
He smashes you over the head with a sledgehammer torso.
Yeah. I know, yeah. But come on, if we're just talking about the body,
he's just weird.
Salah's... I mean, because the thing
it's very good.
I love a goal like that because it's a dictionary definition... Seydorf was amazing. He was about 40 at times. The dictionary definition of you don't get tired when you've got the ball. Mm. When you've run your bollocks off, it's a 90-second minute and you know, you're still in the game. It's 1-0.
Yeah.
And so you've still got to close the game out.
Yeah.
The way Salah approached that chance and just put it away with the pace and the control.
Daniel James, when he speeds back and he's trying to... I mean, he's not the biggest, but still, you're right. Salah was just like, no, I'm eventually going to score against this bloody football club.
Yeah. Would you have taken him down?
I would have.
Not a 1-0.
If you were a professional footballer and not Luke Moore, the hatchet man.
I would have taken him down before he took a strike. Because I know it's the curtains.
First minute. I'm going to have a terrible afternoon.
Yeah.
I'd want out.
You're saying if you've got the ball and you're on top and you're winning, you know, you don't mind putting in the hard yards and so on. I mean, Alisson.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I'd have Steve Cooked it. I'd just pick the ball up.
Wasn't that a celebration for Alisson? I loved that.
Yeah, it's great. He got down there pretty quick.
One of my favourite celebrations, it was mildly reminiscent of that, was Paris Saint-Germain away to Barcelona in the Champions League many moons ago. George Weah playing up front for Paris Saint-Germain. Mm. And what was his name? Lamar in goal?
Oh, Bernard Lamar.
Lamar was in goal. And he made a mistake. In fact, it may have even gone down as an own goal to put Barcelona 1-0 up. Mm. It was a bit of a shame, and it was a good PSG side.
Yeah.
Had Ryan there as well, maybe Leonardo. And George Weah equalised, and he was fantastic that evening. And he ran, and it was like Lamar, in my mind, Lamar and him run and embrace
like
each other.
Like through a meadow.
And meet around about the halfway line, and both... embrace and roll around on the floor a bit. It was beautiful. Bloody beautiful.
I thought Man United, going back to the game, I thought Fred played pretty well. I thought that United knew they'd have to stick in there and ride their luck a bit, which they did, of course. I'm going to make no friends by saying this. And as usual, I don't care. That foul that was given on De Gea by Virgil van Dijk,
was
for me,
bullshit.
Not a foul.
Even Roy Keane thought it wasn't a foul.
There you go.
And he was very
no, but Roy Keane would think it isn't a foul because he would be annoyed at De Gea for not being hard enough.
Yeah. Mm. No, he said it wasn't a foul.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. But Patrice and Graham Souness and Roy Keane were agreeing, and Patrice Evra said, "Oh, for me, it's a foul." And Roy Keane was just like, "Patrice, come on."
Yeah.
He was on one on the television.
To the point of where after the game, when he and Carragher were having that row.
Yeah.
It was a bit like late on Christmas Day. Mm. The two of your uncles are having a row, but you don't really know what about.
No, and people have left at this point.
Yeah, because I didn't even really know the point Keane and Carragher was trying to make.
Well, Carragher was saying
Keane got so Irish.
Yeah. And Carragher gets really high-pitched, doesn't he?
Yeah, his accent just went so impenetrable. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And Keane was so close to, just because he's your mate. Just because Lamp are your mate. Or no,
Solskjaer
is your mate.
Because
it was just...
Keane was like that far away from making it all about John Delaney at the FA.
And Mick McCarthy.
Who told you that? John Delaney tell you that? No. I wouldn't listen to anything that man said. Well, I'm not. He's not involved. Yeah,
they were arguing about, for those who don't have access to Sky
Sports. About Solskjaer. And it did feel a bit like Keane was sticking up for his pal. Didn't it?
Yeah.
He was but they really went at it. And Jamie Carragher was, to be fair to Carragher, he was holding his own.
Mm.
Which is not
making it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For everyone. Apart from Graham, who was thriving on it.
Graham
was just getting energy from it. Like, drawing energy from it.
Graham's going to live to 102 now.
Graham Souness was sat there almost marvelling. Like, Oh, is this what is this what it's like for it's other like people when, watching like, me?
Yeah. My boys. My two boys.
It's like when Sonic gets hit, all his rings come out, and he was just... Yeah. Soon as you're just collecting the coins, going, yes, ding, 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 ding.
With a big tent pole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Yeah.
Did
you think it was a foul then? Because you didn't give your opinion on it.
I didn't think it was a foul.
Because I feel like there should be, if two players go up like that, both eyes on the ball, looking to head the ball in the middle of the pitch, I'd like the referee to let them play on. I'd like it to look a stronger person as one. Of course, unless there's a dangerous play with an elbow or a head or something, I'd like it to go. And I feel like, I know there's nothing in the laws to say this, but I feel like the big high ball, and you're a goalkeeper who literally, lest we forget, can use your hands.
Yes.
You should be stronger than that. Mm. And he's legitimately allowed to challenge for that with his hands down by his side looking at the ball.
It's an odd rule when the goalkeeper has his hands up and when his hands come down... or his arms come down and the arm hits the player, that's often interpreted as a foul.
Yeah.
But you think he's slam dunked.
Well, but you think, the player doesn't have to get out the way of the goalkeeper. The defender, if he can't tackle the forward, you can make it a bit awkward. You sort of shepherd. You don't have to go, oh, I can't tackle you, therefore have a free pass, my man. You
know, no, exactly.
And
I felt really, if I was a United fan, I'd be really frustrated by the way they just didn't defend that passage of play after that because they were convinced it was a foul.
Yeah.
And if I was a Man United fan, I'd be really upset by the fact that they didn't actually defend the passage of play after either. Mm. They kind of were convinced it was a foul. Yeah, yeah, so they were like, well, we're going to let the referee deal with this.
Yeah.
And almost just let Liverpool score. And that was a nice finish by Firmino. Mm. But for them to go in and let VAR rule that out, I just found the whole thing quite unedifying for a team who's supposed to be, you know, playing competitively. It was a bit weird.
The first goal, Brandon Williams was left to mark Virgil van Dijk.
That's ridiculous. That's because they have a combination of man and zone. All van Dijk needs to do is get in that zone. It happened with Fernandinho against Palace. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, so that I realised that was the case. Whereas when there was a free kick that was in a crossing position, which was swung in after Maguire was on Van Dijk. Now, like you said, they might have a different system for each one. But Van Dijk is the threat. And Maguire, I think, was actually marking Joe Gomez, if I remember correctly, from the corner when Van Dijk scored. And I just, why are you putting... stick Maguire on Van Dijk.
Mm. But it's harder than it seems, I think, because if you've got Van Dijk, maybe Van Dijk's quicker than Maguire, and he gets a run on him, and Maguire can't position himself properly to get in there. I'm not an expert in this, but what it seems that they're doing is they're putting their best headers in areas where they think the ball can go and giving them a chance to win it. But if you end up with a mismatch like that, I mean, it's ridiculous. There's probably a better reason for it. You could probably ask Michael Cox why it happens. I don't know. But if I'm playing Sunday League or Saturday football and our small little fullback, who's 18 or however old he is, Brandon Williams, is going up against the greatest defender in world football, who's known for contributing goals from set pieces.
And you know how accurate...
It's wrong.
And you know how accurate the taker
delivery
is.
Yeah, delivery is, exactly. It's wrong. It's wrong. And you don't help yourself. And United concede set piece goals like you wouldn't believe as well. Yeah. I don't think there's any team in the Premier League who's conceded more than them. So it's crazy.
Yeah, but that midfield three for Liverpool, just... they were excellent. I mean, Henderson was in the centre this time, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Wijnaldum in there as well. Or Wijnaldum again showing his importance, his sort of switched around. Henderson was actually given man of the match. But that just the intelligence, the industry, even the creativity. You don't often think that about some of those players. But Pete, you remember Wijnaldum at Newcastle, you know. I mean, we should thank Newcastle for bringing him to the Premier League. Yeah. Of course,
I'll tell you what, Wijnaldum's might be running his contract down. Get in there,
get him back. Come on, slight return.
He's a phenomenal player.
He's an incredible player, and in a team full of absolute megastars.
Yeah.
To varying degrees, he doesn't get the props he deserves.
I think he captained PSV to the title when he was 24.
Yeah. Mm.
That's how much of a... That's the thing with Liverpool. Leaders all over the pitch. Mm. All over that pitch.
That's what you need.
Personal responsibility, which is something that Manchester United players have frequently not done this season.
Yeah. Would you say, again, learning from Arsenal, leaders all over the pitch?
Yeah. The golden era of Arsenal are in the middle at the moment. What about Rashford being out for a while? Yeah.
That is a shame. Hopefully...
Stress fracture. Could be complicated. Could be long.
It would be... Yeah, there's talk about 2 months. When you hear that, you think, you want, you know, it was a give or take a couple of weeks. If he can get back by the end of March, then you think, okay, that should be enough to get a bit match fit for the Euros. I'm thinking about England. I'm always thinking about England, people. Come on.
Of course you are, mate.
Everyone knows you're always thinking about England, mate. You lie on your back thinking of England.
Take Okay.
Yeah, so it's a great shame, of course, for Manchester United, though, in the meantime, because they need him.
And then Vardy goes and misses a penalty. It says, look, you don't want me anyway. You don't need me.
I am fallible.
Speaking of fallible, let's go on to Manchester City versus Crystal Palace. Great point for Roy the boy.
Yeah.
Once it's not the first time he's got a decent result against Guardiola. Often say that Hodgson's got Guardiola's number. Sometimes he forgets that, but every now and then it pops up, of course.
Sometimes he can't find it in his phone book.
Did you see what he said about John Stones, where obviously Stones was taking a bit of flack? Even Guardiola mentioned it, and Hodgson sort of came to his defence, and he said, well, at the moment, he's in a very important goldfish bowl.
Right.
You know. It's a very important
Genesis-esque.
Yeah. Tosin, first start in the Prem for Crystal Palace.
I hope he has a nice time there. I really like him.
I think he's a good player, Tosin. Yeah.
He loved it, didn't he? Did you see the interview after the game? No, he's like, oh, I just want to say thanks to all the guys. Yeah, everyone worked really hard. It was just great to play. And I was like, oh, this is delightful.
What he meant was, I came here and I did not realise how many shit forwards they have at this club. And I thought, I'll be fine.
Yeah, it's lovely to start a game. It's lovely to score. Yeah. And it's lovely to have people working hard around me. I think I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah. It was Fernandinho, again, he sort of got bullied a bit, didn't he? The own goal, he felt like he couldn't really make an impact physically.
Well, when Connor Wickham's bearing down on
him. I mean, and Connor Wickham isn't... Look, he's had a difficult time. I've got no reason to stick the boot on him. At this level, he's not a very good forward. Mm. Right? He's just not cut the mustard at this level. And there might be reasons for that, but that's the fact.
Yeah.
But Fernandinho couldn't make a physical impact on him, which is why he got forced into that position. And then with the first goal, he I forget who he's up against, but he misses the... He can't make an impact on the first header either, which means Tosin can fill up with the second header. And that to me is like... Great example of why Fernandinho shouldn't really be playing centre back. He should be playing in the midfield, and it's going to be one of the many reasons. The most important one being Liverpool, brilliant. That Man City aren't going to come anywhere near it this year.
Well, maybe they just rested on their laurels a bit. You know, much has talked about not signing a centre half and so on and so forth. And with Guardiola, how much longer is he going to be there? I think he might be the season after this one. He might be off.
I think he might go this summer.
He could go this summer. It'd be either or. You wouldn't think long term. So the idea of...
Do you know what I think they're coming this summer at City?
They're going to go back to Sven.
Poch.
Oh.
What are you going on? Well, hang on a minute. I said to you that there was a little lad playing for Manchester United who was touting it that he was going there. Either way, he's going to be in Manchester.
Yeah.
Look at you smiling. What have you heard?
I
just think Mauricio Pochettino might go to Man City this summer.
I think you're going to Man United.
Is it time to dust off Nostradamus? Find out on Thursday.
Is it
Nostradamus under the box of the masked winger?
Is it Nostramarcus wading in?
What do you think?
Oh, I think you know. Have any of the Man City players tales of Pochettino for the summer?
I don't know. I don't know any of them.
All right, you don't know.
What I do know is that
I wish, what you do know, mate.
we won't fully now, will it? I wish that Kevin De Bruyne free kick went over the line.
Oh!
It was a beauty.
Yeah, it was. It would have been a very satisfying one.
Yeah.
But of course, it didn't. And Palace, they love it, don't they? Man City were awarded a pen that the VAR overturned.
Rightly.
Rightly.
Yeah.
More conspiracy for Man City. They didn't get that one where the Palace player handballed it, even though it was perfectly...
Liverpool strike again. Was this the game where there was a handball in the build-up?
What for the...
There was a game this weekend, and I realise I sound like you know, the mad old uncle in here now, but there was a game this weekend where there was a handball in the build-up, and it didn't rule it out. It wasn't ruled out.
Ooh.
But it was in exactly the same way that Declan Rice's was ruled out against Sheffield United the week before.
Poor.
I can't remember. I haven't done my research. It doesn't matter. But anyway, listen, everyone listening at home, there's inconsistency
football.
In VAR, and I've discovered another one. I just can't remember the details.
No.
Well, I mean, it comes off thick and fast.
They do. The games come very quick. I mean, there's more games tomorrow night, Pete.
Oh, I know.
There's all sorts going on.
You guys are playing Everton tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You know, we've got time to enjoy the Chelsea win.
Well, anyway, let's get all that. Now we've got through all that chutney.
Main event.
Let's get down to it.
Main event. A man getting hit in the todger.
That wasn't the todger. That was the bollocks.
That was the bollocks.
Could have been both.
Could have been both. Could have been a little bit of the both.
And I thought when I first heard it, it had happened. I heard about it before I saw it. And I thought, oh, the flag, that's all right. It won't hurt that much.
Ooh.
It's the big chunky bit that hits the flag in the ground.
What are the chances?
The heavy bits.
Is that a kind of a lovely kind of metaphor of supporting Newcastle United? They score a last minute injury time winner against the superior
Ritchie
side. And as he's celebrating, he gets a massive thwack in the bollocks.
I always enjoy watching Matt Ritchie play for Newcastle United because he is underrated. He's almost Daryl Yanmat levels of crazy.
Yeah.
But he's so into playing football. Mm. Yeah. I love him.
He demands so much from all the players around him all the time.
And
the
gets so little.
I actually find it quite annoying. And he's from my hometown.
Another one.
Yeah, he does. Popular out in the Premier League.
Do you know what you were saying about, you know, from Gospel? I was born in Kingston upon Thames.
Yeah,
the same as Declan Rice.
Yeah,
Luke
Declan
Shaw.
Rice from there. Yeah, Luke still Shaw lives well. There.
Does he?
Yeah,
like Stormzy.
Declan still lives there with his parents. Stormzy's from Thornton Heath.
No, but he lives in Kingston.
Does he? Okay.
I believe Spider-Man, old Tom Holland. They're all in Kingston.
Hello to our American listeners.
They've heard of some of these people, yeah. Surely.
Go on. What were we going to say?
It's just a lovely smash and grab from Brucey's boys.
It is.
Right, yeah. That went nowhere.
Yeah.
No, I was saying that because you were talking about people born where
you're
from.
Well, it's the Gosport versus Portsmouth derby, Newcastle v Chelsea. It Ritchie is, yeah. versus Mason Mount. And yes, yeah. I understand Ritchie only came off the bench.
Yeah.
But he made an impact.
He did.
And that, even if that was just to burst the eardrums of all of his teammates.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a great ball in from Alain Saint-Maximin.
Well, they do rely on him a lot. He's just come back from injury. He was mm-hmm. was needed to play all of the match.
How did you say his name, Pete?
Alain Saint-Maximin.
Okay, cool. Isn't it? I don't know if I got it right or not.
Pete, who
ASMR.
You know who was man of the match?
What?
You know who was man of the match?
Was it Almiron? Was it fair play?
It was Miguel Almiron.
Was it Miguel Almiron?
What a player. Okay, he's becoming. In Newcastle, though, very disciplined and organised throughout. A Steve Bruce team will be that, of
industrious,
course.
Played 5 and 4.
Yeah.
Make it difficult for Chelsea.
I mean, as Jonathan Wilson's written quite a lot about, we see this a lot now. Compared to 15 years ago, however long it was, in the top flight in England, he's a regular thing now that the poorer side, if you like, will concede possession. So Chelsea with 70% possession, we see it all the time with Manchester City as well. But when you're that disciplined and organised, you know, that really is the blueprint and the template for teams trying to get a point, or maybe even three if they can, against better sides.
It's a good bedrock for any team coming up. It's not defending well, it's defending in numbers, yes. And relying on probably one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League at the moment. He's had an incredible season.
He was very good.
Dubravka gets criticised every now and again for his positioning and his decision making.
Not in this room.
Not in this room, because he brings so much to the side. Mm. Even playing out from the back, he's got a good delivery on him, and he's very unflustered. Until he's very flustered.
Chelsea only have 4 shots on target, though, Pete.
They did, yeah, but they had a lot of possession, and yeah, but they need to find a way to break down teams who defend like this, and they've shown all season that they find that very, very difficult. And if they don't get a goal, they're a little bit out of ideas.
Newcastle,
but they should have scored a couple at various points.
Newcastle aren't defending hard; they're defending smart.
Exactly.
Joel Linton nearly scored. Hit the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Newcastle safely ensconced in 12th. Just 5 points off 5th.
Really?
It's just mad. It's a mad division this season.
Yeah.
Liverpool have taken all the points, therefore there's less to play for with everybody else. Is that how it works? And then
they're certainly seems
off,
like
they're 4 points off the relegation zone, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
The teams in the middle just don't seem to want to put any form together, like I've said all season, and it's a poor league outside of the top two.
Only, if you take the teams between 2nd, Man City, and Everton in 11th, only one team won, and that was Wolves.
Awful.
But it goes to show that Chelsea, they lost again. Still fairly comfortable in 4th, though.
Man United seem to lose all the time. Still 5th. Always 5th. Always understand. The same.
Chelsea are going to sleepwalk into the Champions League.
Yeah.
Nobody wants it. Somebody out there wants it, surely.
Sheffield United want it.
Oh, they do.
They want it bad.
They do, indeed. I want to break bad.
All right. Like Walter White.
Indeed.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mm-hmm.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily.
Do we do emails now, or do we do my little Betway update?
We do emails first, but we can do your Betway update if you want first.
I feel like happening to get out of the way.
I'm sure Pete won't mind.
Pete, should I just do the...
Get involved, do it.
Yeah, because it'll just get the admin
Well, it links
done.
With Joe Linton almost scoring a header off the bar.
Sure.
That's the player that I went for.
All right, well, so we pick four players to score first from Betway's four selected games for Betway 4 to score. Go to betway.com/4to-score. It's free to play. And that you can win. This weekend is gone. You could have won £25,000. Jim picked Calvert-Lewin. He scored, but it was 4 minutes too late. Pete picked Joel Linton, hit the bar, but didn't score. I picked Jamie Vardy. He would have got one had Popey not saved the elder penalty. And Marcus, you picked Roberto Firmino, who had one disallowed. So we're very close.
Well, but Vardy and Firmino wouldn't have been the first goals of the game.
Well, we're getting there. nobody won this week. And there's two words that are a reason for that. Isaac Hayden. If you go into Betway 4 to score and you're picking Isaac Hayden
against Chelsea, you've got rocks in your head.
Yeah. Anyway, so that means we roll over to £50,000 for this week, and you can tune in on the preview show on Friday for our four selections. Betway.com/4to-score 18 plus, and do gamble responsibly.
Now it's time for emails with PDD. You email show at football ramble daily.
All right, then we got an email from Frankie Patton Elliott. Thank you, FPE. Hi, Ramblers. 2 years ago, while playing in a relatively poor quality Sunday league game in Auckland, New Zealand, I was shocked to see 77-capped former All Black Ali Williams running from his spot as makeshift linesman to collect the ball for me to take a throw-in. The team we were up against was captained by the former New Zealand international cricketer Nathan McCullum, so I shouldn't have been too surprised, but having a man who I'd seen lift the Rugby World Cup chase after a stray ball for me on a bleak Sunday morning was bizarre. As the game wore on, it became clear that Ali was being saved as a super sub, maybe lacking a bit of fitness since his retirement from rugby in 2015. Losing 2-1 and with a final throw of the dice, Captain McCullum brought 6'7" Williams on, 6'7" Williams on for a corner in the final minutes of the game. As he jogged on, I turned to the small Japanese boy who'd inexplicably volunteered to go in goal to replace our absent keeper. I could see the fear in his eyes as I told him he would now be already competing against a former All Black lock. Despite climbing over three defenders to win the header from the corner, Williams was not as good as his head as he had been with his hands during his four-year All Blacks career. The ball sailed wide and we snatched victory from the former New Zealand international cross-court Sunday league team. Love the show. Cheers, Frankie.
Is that the most notable thing Ali Williams has done since allegedly trying to buy cocaine outside a nightclub in February 2017?
He's a big boy. Big boys need big drugs. Kim Luca Borges. Hi, boys.
Good name. Two good names.
I think it's Borges or Borges, maybe. Trying to defend the undefendable. Hi, boys. Hope you're well. After hearing some of your comments on the Lit Shows, I thought I'd try and do something no man would ever dare to do. I'm going to try and defend Robbie Savage. Oh. Yes, you heard that right. A few years back, me and my young lad were on our way to St Andrews to watch Albion play Birmingham in an FA Cup fourth round draw. Special occasion. My lad was one of the mascots for the Albion. Anyway, Robbie Savage appears on a train platform. Given that my wife hates him, I thought it'd be funny for me to send a picture of our boy with him. He looked in a rush, but I decided to approach him anyway. He said, excuse me, Robbie, do you mind taking a picture with my son? He stopped and turned to me, looked at his watch and surprisingly replied,
as long as it's quick, I'm really late and I'm going to miss my train.
I proceeded into pulling my phone out, and for some reason I got a bit nervous. I was stumbling when trying to get the camera open. Surprisingly, even though he was clearly in a hurry, he kneeled down, introduced himself to my son and asked if he played football. They struck a pause and I was finally able to take the picture. He said it was a pleasure to meet my son, patted him on the head and ran towards his platform. He never made the train. But yeah, look.
There we go. Very nice.
Fair.
The picture? He looks different there.
Fair's fair.
That's
what do you think it might not be him?
Not Robbie Savage at all.
I'm talking about my mate's son. No, my joke.
Yeah, interesting.
Good on him.
Nick Dainty, another great name.
Dainty.
Hi, chaps. Listening to the Masked Winger jingle, I think it's got real potential as a crowd chant.
Go on.
It just needs the right four-syllabled wingers. It could work on. Closest I've got so far is an ode to Serge Aurier's cavalier approach to the wing-back role. Serge Aurier, want Mark who he's asked, but he'll attack with vigour and clout. He's a fast winger.
Can't terrible. Imagine that going around terrible. The stands.
It's just no, terrible. Okay.
Jimmy Moran has an ultrasound bone healing device.
Great.
Well, we might need that.
Yeah, well,
in the summer.
Tell us more about it.
He was listening to the Ramble. He got hit by a van. Remember that guy? I think we said on the Little Pete show. He got hit by a van while listening to the Ramble and he required ankle surgery. The initial surgery wasn't successful. The ankle got put back in place and the bone broke up into little pieces, leaving a gap. I mean, it's less than ideal in a bone surgery. The surgeon was reluctant to operate again so soon, so I ended up trialing this machine. The private company who supplied it explained that not a lot of athletes use it for fractures to stimulate bone growth. And as you'll see from the pictures, it's essentially like being on a tag. You put the circular part of the fracture, apply the gel, and switch on the machine, and it's supposed to stimulate the leg, encourage the bone to heal. It doesn't work. Rashford should gift it to Nemanja Matic in the hope it could grow a right foot. So thank you, Jamie M, for that. They don't work, so unlucky.
Fucking grow, you bastard.
Yeah. Grow your bone.
Is that what broke? Oh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in a minute.
My bones got a little machine. It's Bone Machine.
Pixies.
Yep.
Pixies there.
Phil Bones. Bill Bones knows what
Bill
I mean.
Bones.
Norwich City. Norwich City got a good win against Bournemouth. You can't deny that. It was a big win for Farker.
It was.
Bournemouth are bad.
Yeah.
Bad to the bone.
They are bad.
Bad to the bones. Yeah. Cook. Was sent off for a diving handball save.
It was all a bit of a mess, wasn't it, at the back?
It was save of the season.
Do you know what the big crime was? Was that Duda has just gone there from the Bundesliga.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have scored. He would have scored first goal.
On his debut.
I know. Mm-hmm. And he was denied cruelly by the hand of Cook.
Basically the save of the season. I can't tell you a better save than that.
It was absolutely superb.
It was amazing.
Because it was unexpected. Why are you doing that?
If someone said to me, you have to get sent off for a deliberate handball in a game, how do you want to be sent off? That.
Yeah.
I want to be sent off for
there's
that.
There's a big gap between that and Steven Taylor getting sent off for pretending he'd been shot.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was more like platoon.
Unedifying. It was rubbish.
More like platoon,
this is excellent.
There were a few instances which just shows you, I think, how desperate Bournemouth are at the moment. Callum Wilson snatched at that chance.
Uh-huh.
He's not in great form, but you'd think he would have done better. Dan Gosling had a real snatch at a header as well. And then Steve Cook making this decision. You could argue Steve Cook kind of did it in the moment, which I'm sure is true, but it all felt a bit desperate to me. It all felt a bit like, this is a really important game for us. Norwich are the only team statistically worse than us. We cannot not win this. And they ended up just having an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
Even though, of course, Norwich are the players sent off themselves as well.
Correctly sent off after the referee went to check on the VAR monitor.
It was a nasty one.
It was a very nasty one, but a vital win for Norwich, who just closed the gap between themselves and all the other teams. The three current teams in the relegation zone still look the most likely to go down, Norwich, Bournemouth, and you'd have to say Villa as well. West Ham, Watford, Burnley, Brighton and Newcastle are still in the mix, though. Although Burnley had a great win against Leicester.
Yes.
I mean, Leicester, obviously Vardy's penalty, then Vardy had a chance, so... Yeah, come on, son. We might need you in the summer. More likely.
Jack Grealish is doing his best to keep Villa in the league almost single-handedly.
Yeah.
Top scorer. I think he's top assist maker as well.
Yeah.
He's grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, which is what you want from your captain.
Indeed. But you've moved on very quickly from Burnley there, and I don't think that's fair on Nick Pope.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I've got him as my fantasy team goalkeeper. So I'm happy to talk about that. Yeah. Unbelievable.
They were chanting England's number one.
Well, listen, there'll be no one left, mate, by the summer. So the rate we're dropping like flies. Popey, just keep yourself in cotton wool.
Come on, Popey.
And you'll play. You'll play up front.
Well, we're all right. The goalkeepers aren't getting injured.
Tom Heaton, your beau. He's done.
Yeah, Bay. That's true.
Goal Bay.
Pickford's still there.
Yep. Pickers, he is.
Pickers,
I mean,
is
he's
still
mad.
There.
But I mean, he's somehow quite good for England, but he's mad.
Yeah. Speaking of goalkeepers, though, not see Pepe Reina back in the Prem.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, chief cheerleader Pepe Reina.
Let him rest.
A video went around over the weekend of him already doing some kind of weird cheerleading thing.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I think it must have been his initiation for his new club. You know, they do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he was absolutely loving it.
I'm pretty sure you can see the players going, no, this we don't need to do an initiation. I want to do an initiation. Yeah.
And then I'm going to pay in the dressing room.
In those Kappa shorts, though, he's, I mean, Grealish's legs look magnificent, don't they?
Yeah, he's great.
When he's thundering around the pitch like that and smacking the ball in the back of the net, oh yes,
love it.
He could Euros.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Euros. Chat about Grealish.
The path we're on, Pete, is a football ramble episode in like a month's time is just going to be Marcus pointing at me, just going Euros.
I'm just
Euros. Euros.
I just think we should just have like Marcus's England channel,
and
it's just him going. Euros.
Oi,
the Euros
just
are coming.
At least let's wait for Brexit to happen and then I can get that channel.
Exactly.
We'll go out in the second round of Dublin, though, but there we are. But Grealish, you're right. He is single-handedly trying to keep Villa from relegation.
Hmm. Now you want to talk about Grealish. Now you want to talk about Grealish.
I want to talk about them all.
Okay.
But Brighton, no, they're picking up the odd points here and there. But who would you fancy at the moment for relegation? It would have to be the three that are in there, would you say?
Norwich, Bournemouth and one other.
Because West Ham with David Moyes.
David.
He, you know, the ferryman should sail them into to clear waters eventually.
I'd quite like to see Southampton go down. But
I don't think I'd put them in that list.
No, you probably wouldn't. Not at this point.
At times they have been the worst team I've seen in the Premier League for a long time.
Well, a very specific time.
Yeah, I mean, one
very
month.
Specific 2 hours. On one evening. Yeah.
Indeed. Well, talking of teams who are in the relegation zone, should we go down to League One? Accrington lost 2-1 at home to Southend. That means big Sol Campbell got his first win as Southend manager.
Oi, oi.
Yeah, it was his 11th game in charge and they're only their second win of the season. It's fair to say they're having a bad season. 13 points from 26 matches. They're 12 points from safety. Bolton the bottom, of course, with 7 points, but they had a 12-point deduction.
Mm. But Southend have had their own problems as
they
well.
Really have.
I think it was only last week that I was reading there's problems paying the players.
Yeah.
Of course, if you go into the Championship, you've seen Derby are in a bit of trouble now for financial stuff too. So it's not been the best of circumstances for poor old Big Sol.
No.
He's having to scratch around managing at teams that will have him, sadly. And of course, four teams go down that division. So, and I think they're 12 points off it still. So
He obviously, who was he in charge of?
Macclesfield. Yeah.
You know, he got them to stay up, which was a good job, all considered. Mm. Whereas this one, I think, it just looks...
The brief is similar, but more extreme.
Yeah.
It's like doing Iron Man challenges.
They just concede so many goals. Yeah. It's unbelievable. They've conceded 66 goals already this season.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it's a shame with Sol Campbell because, like you say, this won't really tell us that much about him as a manager. Yeah. Maybe people at Southend will disagree with that.
Stanley have got a left back who's just started training with Southend. I'm just going to play over here for a bit.
Were they shorter players?
Shorter defenders.
Yeah.
I wonder if Big Sol thinks that, you know, if I do the best I can and actually impress teams we play against, maybe I'll get, after this season I can get a job somewhere else in League One and maybe build from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one's really, I mean, even at Macclesfield from what I remember, I mean, no one really had a bad word to say about him in the circumstances. It's probably the same as Southend. He's probably doing the best he can of the circumstances. Mm. And I mean, that's a terrible, terrible result for Accrington Stanley, who themselves are struggling anyway. That's just the third loss in a row for them in the league. And they're starting to flirt with it. But you've got a situation where Bury are gone.
Mm.
Bolton are almost done by definition because of the deduction. There's only two places really, and Southend are so far adrift. You're looking at in real terms, only one team's going to get relegated, which will probably save Accrington. It probably won't be them. So It's not great down the bottom. It's not a great advert for the way the Football League has been run at the moment.
No.
With teams literally not being able to fulfil their fixtures. But when we talked about that at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, did you? Well, let's go more towards the top of League One. What about Pompey?
Yeah, doing all right.
Seventh?
Seventh now. I think they're undefeated at home in the league this
Come
season.
On. We want them back in the Championship for the Bants.
They're 6 points off the top. Wickham have been a terrible run of form, so Rotherham are now top. So yeah, it's looking okay. And Kenny Jackett was very lucky to keep his job earlier in the season, and now it's starting to reap the dividends. But they only managed to win 1-0 away at Bolton, which wasn't a great result.
They're not hanging up Jackett just yet.
No, they're not.
Certainly not.
It's not getting warmer yet.
Indeed.
Don't take your jacket off.
Peter.
Yo.
Let's go to the Netherlands.
Okay, then.
Who are you going to call?
Because he will actually go.
I'll go. Yeah. I was at Savile the weekend. I'll go Amsterdam.
Did you see the scenes?
I saw a big T4 sort of situation.
Yep. Talk us through it.
Someone has taken the wild step of
some people. Of painting, that's a team effort
of painting Alan Pardew's face on a big bit of
and Chrissy Powell.
And Chrissy Powell, both dressed as Ghostbusters.
Why are they Ghostbusters?
Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call? Yeah.
They need.
Is that all we got?
They need help.
Right, okay,
they need help.
How many big banners have you put together in a second language?
I've bannered.
How many Japanese banners have you done?
I've bannered in my past.
Yeah.
Powell and Pard's on there.
Yeah.
You do check this out if you haven't seen it. It was lovely.
It did look very funny.
Chris Powell's loving it.
Chris Powell, as he should be loving it as well. He comes across as a good egg.
And Adio Den Haag, as we joked at the time, we expected Alan Pardew to go to The Hague at some point, but not for these reasons. They won their first game back after the winter break.
Mm. So he's they did.
Good amount of time to work with the team, and it's working so far.
Chris Powell tweeted, and I assume it's a real account, or looks like it, but it doesn't have a blue tick, which is a shame. Twitter, get Powell a blue tick. Mm. There are welcomes, and then there are welcomes. Oh my word, just the start we wanted, but it's just a start, and we have more work ahead of us. Thank you to everyone associated with Adu Den Haag. The gaffer and I are proud to be here with you all. Glorious start.
Lovely.
I love Chris Powell.
Powell's getting the recognition he deserves.
Little asterisk on that. He was lined up for a ramble meet, then he fucked off to Holland.
Yeah.
So now we can't have him as a ramble meet.
Yeah, but that's not.
Other than that, I still like him.
What, you won't go to Amsterdam?
I would go.
CP.
Couldn't get it signed off, Pete. Couldn't get it signed off. Did you also see that Mario Balotelli came on and was sent off after 7 minutes? Two yellows. Squeeze two yellows in there.
Busy boy. Yeah. Busy boy.
That's so good.
I'll try and get the boys to talk about that on Thursday on OTC.
That reminds me of the story that Jose Mourinho told when he was Inter manager. And to be fair to Mourinho, he was laughing when he said it, that they were away to, I think, CSKA Moscow in the Champions League. And he said all these strikers were injured. And I kind of think, would it have been Melito and Pandev? Would it have been that side? Well, he certainly had those players. Anyway, a lot of the strikers were injured. Balotelli was the only fit forward that he had, and a tricky trip away in the Champions League, and Balotelli was, I think he was on a yellow card, and he was getting feisty, and they got him, and Mourinho said, I got them in the dressing room at half time, and he said, I've got 15 minutes, you know, give or take, with the players. He said about 13 minutes of those 15 were talking to Balotelli, saying, just calm down, you cannot get sent off, you're the only forward, we're away, blah 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 blah. 46 minutes, second yellow red card. He was laughing about it, you know.
did you see the Florent Lejeune interview in the Newcastle United program?
This is great. I don't know how this is being signed off. How has this been signed off by the editor?
It's the same company that gave you a calendar this year that had Solomon Rondon in there. I think Kennedy was still in there. Yeah.
No, but that's poor.
That's poor.
This is a program.
This is different level.
There's an editor of.
Yeah.
It's mad.
The question was, Florent Lejeune, how would you dispose of a dead body if you only had 1 hour to get rid of it?
How is that? Listen, I've interviewed Premier League players and nowhere near that kind of stuff's getting signed off, I'm telling you. You can't even get them signed off about how they played last week.
Well, he would put it on a boat, throw the body at the sea with weights on it.
Just been watching The Sopranos.
Yeah. He answered the question.
Yeah, yeah.
How would you do it, Marcus? You're a man of God.
What?
How would you send a man to his maker?
Can I also say, with those things with like Florian Lejeune, clearly, they've just written it for him. So
right.
Have a look at it, make sure it's fine. And he's probably thought, I can't be bothered with that. Yeah, it's fine. No worries. Hang on, you said I'll do what?
were there any other questions?
No, that's the only one that's been photographed.
Yeah.
I know you're asking.
No, we're not asking. We don't want to know.
Pete, you know, like.
Please don't tell me.
I've been thinking about this all weekend. You know, like in those circuses where you have like a like a man who dives into a pool.
I've been thinking about this all weekend.
Yeah. Like an outside circusy sort of thing. You've got like a big ladder and a diving board, and he dives into a fairly small amount of
water. Can I fill in the gaps here?
Yeah.
What you're going to say is you're going to get someone to do that, and as they about to jump, you have a massive big syringe, and you go, and you suck all the water out.
No, this is disposing of an already dead body.
Oh, sorry.
Get in the room, mate.
Sorry. Yeah. No, I'm saying that's part one.
Yeah. I would leave it on the diving board because the only people who ever go up there are the people who dive off it, and they don't do it very often. So they could be up there for weeks, decomposing in the hot sun.
I think you need more than weeks.
This is rock bottom. Absolute rock
bottom. But the only person who's going to be accused of it, the only person who's going to see the dead body up there is the high diver. And the high diver is automatically a suspect. So he ain't going to be telling anyone.
Pete, I get it.
Yeah. Right.
It's just rock bottom.
Why is it rock bottom?
The thing is, you've spent all weekend thinking of that, and that's the best you can come up with.
Yeah. Euros.
All right. Now you're
just
talking.
Put him up somewhere really high.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you stop kids from playing with pennies or bleach?
Right,
you lock them away, I put them on high.
Okay, what, the kids? How dare you? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily.
They're not still listening.
Not for me, I like it.
Yeah, thank you, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Fuck off.
Jules and Andy are back tomorrow. Get your lug holes around that. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.